And we're back after the international break on today's episode of FPL 360. Chuck and I will run through some streaming options, some transfer targets, and then give you the lowdown on the matches we like for the return of the Premier League in Game Week 9. Doing, Chuck? It's I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever. How was your international break?
Yeah, it's kind of funny considering at this rate we're talking about two times a week, so it was good. Actually got away and got up to Philly, did not watch any international break soccer, and I met Charles Barkley.
Did you get him to say knucklehead?
I unfortunately did not, because I didn't want to.
How did you meet him?
I was just like randomly like out in a couple of bars in Philly, and one bar there wasn't very many people in, and like my friends and I look in the corner, and we're like, "That's Charles Barkley, like sitting at a table with a bunch of people that I don't recognize."
Jeez. So yeah, I saw your photos. I wasn't sure if that was like if you and him were boys and that was just a casual meetup, international break, Barkley and Chuck go to, or that's also, did you talk about how you have the same name?
Not only how we had the same name, but we were both also wearing Chucks that night.
Oh my God. So my international break was not that cool, at all. I played golf. So what was your big takeaway from him?
He looks like
is he a cool dude?
Pretty cool dude, but he definitely looks like TNT is running him into the ground.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Well, now we're a big Charles Barkley podcast. Did we have our first celebrity that we're going to support? My international break consisted of, as I said, some golf. Went to Patriots. Giants, and I told myself I was not going to watch any football of any kind until this weekend. And then I decided to sit down and watch the United States play Canada.
Oh, why'd you do that to yourself?
Because I watched the highlights of the match against Cuba. I'm like, all right, this should be another handed result. But I mean, and I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but from my point of view, the United States football, the panic button has been hit so hard that they're on back order. They got to start going to China to get panic buttons. I think we're toast.
Let's just say I'm happy that the only channel that I am not able to watch sports on is ESPN. So it made that not watching that game very easy for me.
All right, well, let's get back to what people come here for, and that's Premier League advice. I want to start today's episode off. I know we'll go into the matches later, but I think we should get right down to the task at hand, and that's looking at some streaming options. With Hugo Lloris obviously out after hurting his arm in the match against Brighton, we also have Fabianski on the shelf long-term. Is there any streaming goalies that kind of pop off the page for you this week in Fantrax?
I mean, not number one would probably be Gazzaniga with going against Watford. But assuming that he has probably been picked up by a lot of people, let's see, what's his ownership now?
He's at 45%.
Okay, so he still might be available in your league.
Do you trust that defense?
Hell no.
But enough to go with him, because I didn't even really give him a thought of of who I would look at. I mean, they got Watford, Liverpool, Everton, with Everton, Liverpool away.
I don't realistically trust it at all, but I feel like with all of the streaming keepers, it's really hard to trust them outside of maybe Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm assuming, I know the leagues that we're in, most competitive leagues, Matt Ryan is probably owned. Looking at, I mean, I still like, and I know we talked about him a bit last time, I still like Dean Henderson. And I'm really not too worried about them playing Arsenal.
Well,
I mean, I think he'll get
hasn't
enough
oh, he's still 45%.
points from, he'll get enough, I would think he would. I mean, here's my worry with Gazzaniga. If he doesn't keep a clean sheet, I don't see him making a ton of saves. I don't see Spurs giving up a ton of clear-cut opportunities.
Have you watched Spurs? They give up shots at all times, no matter what, and Gazzaniga's at least an okay shot stopper.
Yeah, but I mean, it's. I'm expecting Watford to revert to the Watford from before this weekend. I think the little mini resurgence under Flores is done.
I mean, I hope so.
I mean,
Spurs need a
Spurs aren't
big
going to.
win.
Are they going to? Are Spurs going to? I don't see Spurs dropping another. They can't, right? There's no way Spurs can lay another goose egg.
Well, that's the
Get goose
problem.
egg.
That's the problem. They can.
I lean towards Henderson just because. I mean, you know, I don't know. Honestly, I like both those guys. Is there anybody else off the top of your head? I mean, because like I do like your Ryan show, but I'm assuming most people listening probably play in competitive 10 or 12 team leagues, and I know in most of them he's probably gone.
Well, this is where it kind of sucks. Because, like, when you get down to keepers that are, like, under 45% owned, you've got Roberto Jimenez, Martin Dubravka, Angus Gunn, Aaron Ramsdale. That's
Who do
a
you like?
bad list of keepers.
If you were picking from those four, my pick this week would probably be Ramsdale
Yeah,
at home against Norwich.
For this week, I'd agree with that because I don't want a thing to do with Dubravka this week. He'll probably be the better option if you're looking like 3 weeks
Well,
out.
I mean, if you lost Lloris. Obviously, if you lost Fabianski a couple weeks ago, you've probably put some sort of plan into action. I mean, would you be trying to? I mean, I guess the advice would be to stream and do short-term stream guys, like looking 2 or 3 match chunks, or would you be trying to maybe, I don't know. I don't know about trading for a goalkeeper, but like, what's your advice you'd give? Because I'm personally for looking. Like 3 or 4 match chunks and saying, all right, if let's say Fabianski was the guy who lost, he's out for 2 months, like 8 matches, how can I stream back to back over that span?
Yeah, I would definitely be looking to stream right now, and then I'd probably would monitor what's going on with David De Gea's injury.
Groin injury on international duty with Spain. I know he's ruled out this weekend. I'm not sure what the extent is, though. I mean, does that even, are you even thinking about Sergio
Not this week, but overall,
Romero?
yes.
Who'd you rather have, Romero or let's say De Gea is out for 3 matches? Would you rather have Romero or Gazzaniga for that stretch? And I'll give you who United are playing right now. So that's Liverpool, Norwich, Bournemouth.
It's not much better for either of them because Gazzaniga has Watford, Liverpool, Everton.
It's weird. This season has been one where set it, forget it, keepers are slim to none. I mean, I know we talked about Ederson last time, so we don't
Well,
Have to go way too back and rehash that.
that's why I love Leno.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of come out of nowhere. I did not expect him to be. I mean, in FPL,
Well, he's
he's sitting
you
around
don't
eight
want
or
him in
nine,
FPL.
but in Fantrax, yeah, absolutely not. And Fantrax, he's the highest scoring keeper right now, I believe. Sorry, he's second after Nick Pope. Yeah, I mean, those two are really the only set it forget it guys right now. And I mean, I guess Patricio with how he's been playing lately. Moving on to the defense. I'm very, very confident in not, it's funny, having the week off for international break, I feel like I just don't even remember anything about the Fantasy Premier League. I mean, I guess it's tough when you look at it because, I like the idea of streaming guys from Sheffield United on most weeks, but I don't know about Arsenal. I mean, would you be interested in a guy like John Egan? He's been averaging like 7 points per match, 18% owned.
Against Arsenal, the only Sheffield defender I'd feel comfortable playing is Lundstrom.
Not even Stevens.
Not particularly. Like, I don't even think I'm going to start O'Connell, and that's saying something considering he's averaging almost 10 points a game.
Well, I'm also interested with, Aaron Cresswell. I think he's rated at 75%, with West Ham going to Everton. If Masuaku gets a start, would you be looking to stream him? I mean, he's down at 18% owned, having missed out with through suspension and then kind of lost his place to Cresswell.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable playing whichever one of them actually starts the game because it's not like Everton's really an attacking threat. Probably your biggest streaming target, if they're available in your league, might be Matt Target, though.
Yeah, Target's coming off an assist. Although when you watch the replay, it was he had a nice play, stepped up to make that interception, but kind of teed it
We
up for
don't, we don't,
Hourihane.
I would say we don't need to talk about the opposition. Just the fact that he does put in a lot of key passes, and sometimes they end up in the back of the net.
Yeah, what I'll say on Target is when he was filling in for Ryan Bertrand last season over the last couple of years at Southampton, he was always a good source of. He was pretty accurate crossing the ball. As you said, key passes. When you look at him on a minutes per offensive action basis, he was actually one of the better defenders. Granted, he only had, I believe, 13 starts, so that is a little bit skewed. There was three or four big games in there. But I do think long term, if he can stay fit, he's definitely something to look at. I mean, right now, Villa has Brighton, City, Liverpool, Wolverhampton, Newcastle in their next five. So that's, I mean, three matches where I'm happy with him in my starting 11.
Are you starting any Tottenham defender that starts this weekend?
I was really big on KWP going into the season. I would think about. I don't want anything to do with Spurs right now. Outside of Kane or Son and FPL. Just rewatching that Brighton match. Look, I do think there's a chance that they come out and they look like the top four,
Well,
legitimate top four contenders
they could look like
of the
Spurs
past,
against Crystal
but
Palace.
just the way that I don't even know what that defense is going to look like.
And that's why so many Spurs defenders are available for streaming.
I mean, I don't think, like, I'm not going to,
I kind of feel like if
if
you
I,
have defensive issues, you kind of have to play one of them.
you, who would your pick be?
I mean, my pick is usually skewed towards outside backs, especially considering that both Jan Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld are essentially useless without a clean sheet. So I'm hoping for Ben Davies or Kyle Walker-Peters to start that game, not Sissoko.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with Walker-Peters. He's owned in 18%. Davies, 18% also. That's weird. I've noticed that all the players they've brought up so far have been 18 or at 18% owned. Is that, should we get a lottery ticket?
I mean, there's a weird thing going on with defenders, because literally, like, I'm looking at Fantrax right now, and I can see at least 10 defenders all at 18% owned, including somehow Adam Webster. I mean,
I'm fine with Walker-Peters, Davies, as you said.
But I repeat, is Adam Webster 18% owned?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess people are worried that Duffy's going to come back in and he'll be the odd man out, but all the evidence we have suggests that the contrary.
So essentially, if Adam Webster's available in your league, even though this game is away to Aston Villa, you need to pick him up.
Yeah, I would definitely look at him. I'm moving on to the midfield. I know we talked about him last time. You're a big fan of the Longstaff Bros. This week, Newcastle at Chelsea. Is that a matchup? I guess looking at what they can provide long term, does that negate the fact that it's going to probably be a low scoring week? Like, are you confident enough to add them to your bench knowing you probably won't use them this week? Or would you be looking at, or would you say screw it and start them?
I would still start Sean, considering that Chelsea's still going to give up chances. He's still probably going to be good for close to 9 points in the game. I wouldn't start Maddie just due to the fact that he doesn't have enough of a track record. And, like, honestly, for all we know, he might not even start this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with – I agree with that, picking up, looking long-term, what they can do. I mean, Chelsea has looked good. I don't know, though. I mean, this week, looking at the available options in midfield, there's really not a ton that stand out. I mean, just with the performances that we had last time out, a lot of these guys, like, you know, El Ghazi's climbed. I mean, I guess someone like
Philip Billing is still available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah. Billing has dropped after his assist match a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'm having a tough time even picking out somebody I would really want to back. I mean, maybe you think maybe rolling the dice on an Albrighton start?
I mean, I don't think that that happens. Probably you're going with your defensive midfielders and going with Marvelous.
Yeah, Marvelous. I mean, his right now, I've liked the fact that his floor has been around like 6.5 points.
It was also very interesting. StatsBomb did an article essentially that, like, Marvelous is Aston Villa's only line of defense, which leads to him making way more tackles than the average player in his position.
I mean, that kind of just reinforces why I'm all about trying to be the conductor of the Aaron Connolly train. He's all the way up to 45% owned after being at 3% going into game week 8. I'm going to back him for another goal this week.
It could definitely happen. He looked really good against Spurs.
I'm going to back him for 2 goals. I saw he got some minutes for the Republic of Ireland over the break. I did not watch the film, though, so I don't know how that panned out. But look, with the way,
I mean, what other forwards are available?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I think we're getting to the point, and I know we talked about this last time we spoke. It's just you, there's, you know, kind of what you're getting with everyone now. I mean, what a, you know, really roll the dice on a Welbeck. I mean, like, at least in Connolly, there's some level of, all right, we saw one great performance. You know, what's he going to pan out into? Where it's like, all right, am I just going to beat the same drum? Is this going to, you know, like, there's not even really anyone else who excites me out there. I mean, what, like a McBurnie against Arsenal?
I still think Che Adams has something in him.
He's got to score. He's got to score a freaking goal.
He definitely has to. Also,
He's doing the. He's
we're
doing.
probably not too far from an Andy Carroll start either.
I can't. I don't want to go down that road.
But on just a week-to-week pickup, if you are playing Fantrax and he is in the Newcastle lineup, there are much worse choices than running him out there. Fair?
All right, if you're no that's fair. If here's the thing though, there's two situations that you're playing Andy Carroll. You have a very solid team, and then there's a last minute change. Maybe you're thin at forward and you have to play Andy Carroll. And then there's the other side where your season has gone down the toilet so much that you're like, oh, I gotta mix things up and start Andy Carroll. I don't think there's a middle of the pack option. He's either like it's a luxury or I'm just totally really toast right now, and I need to prey on the big moose bailing me out. Right? I mean, if you're like a middle of the pack team, I feel like he's just too volatile to be even considering.
No, I'd say that's fair. One thing that you're really going to be watching moving forward is what happens with Wolverhampton. Because with Traore, Cutrone, and Pedro Neto all getting some semblance of minutes and all looking different in different ways, relatively good. Someone's
Yeah,
gonna
so
end up
after,
replacing Yota, right?
well, yeah, I mean, after watching what they did against City and looking at how that formation changed with Traore starting, then moving to forward in the second half when they brought in Doherty, I'm kind of going back on what I was said last time where I don't want Traore. Now I'm starting to think he's probably the guy you want because if there's going to be a situation, it's just he is. There's two past the minutes for him now. I was thinking of it as a negative where he wasn't going to be getting much up top. But I mean, do you think there's a situation where it could be a timeshare of those three up front with Traore just being in the lineup at some capacity? I mean, I don't want to
It
say he's going to take Doherty's spot, but the how well they looked with him up top,
also how well Neto
someone's got to
moves.
get. Yeah, I mean.
It's going to be
Wolves are
very
Wolves are
interesting.
Wolves are Wolves have gone from a team that I kind of was very confused by to now I'm confused for a positive reason, if that makes sense.
The good thing is all of this movement has sparked some life in Raúl Jiménez.
Yeah, he finally looks on track. I mean, which guy would you prefer to see him paired with? I mean, what goes best for
Well,
his fantasy
it's
value?
definitely Traore because
Yeah.
Jimenez can split a defense and find someone. The problem is he needs Traore that's finishing. Otherwise, it's probably Neto.
Speaking of forwards, we got a Twitter question about a trade. I believe this was from Satish. The offer he was talking about was Bernardo Silva and Lacazette for Mane and Otamendi. Which side would you stand? He would be offering Silva and Lacazette. Would you accept that trade?
It's Mane's the best player in the deal.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I would accept
The
it.
problem is the upside from Lacazette and Bernardo Silva. Let's start this with Otamendi is useless.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest issue with this trade. Because if you were getting an actual useful defender, hell, even like Webster, I'd be closer to feeling like this is an acceptable trade, because I'm not 100% sure how many minutes Lacazette's going to play this year. I'm not sure how many minutes Bernardo Silva's going to play this year. But I know that when healthy, Mane is going to be in the Liverpool lineup.
Yeah, I would be on the side of getting Mane. But I just don't think, like you said, there's just too much question marks. I mean, if we had some sort of a, all right, let's say, try to make this a little bit more interesting. If you knew that Bernardo Silva was going to be starting the majority of matches, would you be more interested in this trade?
Well,
I guess I'm trying to gauge what you'd...
Satish owns Bernardo Silva.
Oh, so he would be giving those two away for Mane and Otamendi?
Yes.
Okay.
So if I knew Bernardo Silva was starting the majority of games, I'm not giving him away for anything.
Yeah.
The only reason I can think about giving him away is because we don't know that. The problem is I don't want Otamendi from the other side, and I would rework it to get someone useful.
I'd be interested to see what the rest of his team looks like. Because obviously, I mean, there are the minutes questions, but if Mane is expendable from that side, I mean, this could be a trade where, and I mean, I don't often think about this in Fantasy Premier League in Fantrax, because there's always a lot of other factors going in. But giving somebody Silva and Lacazette, if they have a solid enough team where they're willing to sell Mane, I mean, you could be just handing them a runaway in the league if one of those guys starts getting minutes, or both of them for that matter.
You definitely could be. That's why.
Am I crazy to be thinking maybe I wouldn't want to offer that trade up?
No, you're definitely not. That's again why, if I am getting Mane from the other side, I'm damn sure going to make sure I get something else that's useful.
Yeah, I think you could offer. See, I think the Bernardo Silva and Lacazette offer would be the second one. I would have offered something a little different at first. Yeah, because I mean, Otamendi's Otamendi.
Exactly.
You're banking on a header.
You're also banking on him not being supplanted by John Stones, who's coming back this weekend.
That is a good point. So, look, I mean, right now I would be skeptical of that move. Let's switch it over to FPL and talk a little bit about, I guess, the moves we're making this week or players we'd be looking to target. For me, I mean, I think if you're looking to do a two-week move, Callum Wilson's got to be the guy. I mean, right now he's a 7-9. Bournemouth have Norwich at home, Watford away the next two.
So you mean one of my transfers and my likely captain this week?
Oh, perfect. Yeah, 13% selected right now. You're captaining him. I do think that might be a little bit aggressive for me.
Hey, that Norwich defense is aggressively bad, so I'm okay rolling the dice.
Yeah, I mean, Wesley is coming off. He had a brace against them. He could have had three if he hadn't missed the penalty. So, yeah, I do think there's legs there. I mean, somebody I'm looking at, I don't think I'm going to captain him. I have him right now. But where do you stand on James Maddison? I have him. Have you considered getting him back in yet?
It's coming soon. I don't think it's going to be able to happen this week, just because I still like Mount and Yarmolenko's fixtures. And I'm not ready, and I'm definitely not moving Son versus Watford at home.
I was looking at Vardy. He's out of my price range right now, but I kind of started thinking about maybe wanting to get him in after looking at Madison and seeing Burnley, Southampton, Crystal Palace, Arsenal, Brighton, Everton, Watford, Villa, and Norwich up until 2 days after my birthday on December 14th. So, I mean, is Vardy maybe the striker to look at long term. He's at 10.5% owned. I know guys like Aubameyang have been gaining traction.
Well,
I mean, where would you kind of put Vardy right now?
probably fourth in my strikers that I'm targeting, just because of the fact that Callum Wilson and Tammy Abraham went out due to price. Aubameyang wins out due to being Aubameyang, and then Vardy's right after them. But it depends
I
on
think
what
that's
you have
fair.
in the bank.
This week, my move, I got rid of Buendia and I brought in Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Which that is not a bad move, because every week I've been doing hypothetical wild cards to see if I feel like they're better than my team at the moment. Callum Hudson-Odoi did make my hypothetical wild card team to pair with Mason Mount.
Look, I mean, my thought is they're home against Newcastle. He's got assists in back-to-back matches, one in the substitute cameo, one in his 79 minutes against Southampton. Then they got Burnley away, Watford away, Crystal Palace home, excuse me, before playing City at the Etihad November 23rd. I do think he is worth considering. Do you think maybe it's a little too soon? You think I should have maybe waited to see another start or coming off the international break?
No, I think you want to get him while his price is low.
He's at 5.9 right now.
One thing I'd want to ask you about. For looking at defenders in FPL, three guys that I've been looking pretty heavily at: Alonso, Tomori, and Ryan Fredericks.
So I have Tomori, I have Cresswell, Lewin, Lundstrom, Digne. Now, I guess the Fredericks Cresswell thing is why I mentioned that, because I do have a West Ham coverage. I have Tomori. I like Fredericks. I would really want to get him in Fantrax right now. He's starting to finally put up those peripheral numbers. Not. Obviously, I don't think he's going to hit what he did for Fulham back when he was one of the best players in the championship a few years ago. But I do think he's starting to look more like the player West Ham thought they were signing. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him in. Everton, Sheffield, Newcastle, Burnley, the next for West Ham. But I do like Tomori right now because I think he's going to keep his place when Rudiger's back.
Yeah, the big thing for me is that currently in my FPL defense, I have John Lundstrom and Jack O'Connell. And as much as I love Sheffield United, there is no way in hell that I am playing two Sheffield United defenders at the same time.
I mean, looking at the matches this weekend, maybe we'll start with defenders then. And in terms of like best to worst, ones to target, ones to avoid, which games would you be looking for defenders in? And for me, the one that sticks out is probably Chelsea at home against Newcastle.
I definitely would look in that one. Unfortunately, like, you already have all the Liverpool assets you're gonna get. I don't know if I want a Leicester City defender this week, even though that should be a good matchup for them.
So I rotate between Heaton and Pope for my goalies, and then I have Lewin also. I think I'm going to be benching both those guys. I think I'm going to be starting Heaton, and I think I might play Lundstrom over Lewin because I think Leicester City are going to score, but on the flip side, I don't know if they're going to keep a clean
Yeah,
sheet.
that's the thing. I also think Burnley are going to score. And since I'm still holding Digne this week, that means that I didn't add Ricardo Pereira, who's probably the most ownable Leicester City defender.
I mean, based on what we've seen from Everton, I don't think West Ham is a terrible option.
Well, I think I think both teams score. Wolverhampton has the next highest odds, which is why Patricio is actually a very good replacement in FPL if you were a Hugo Lloris owner.
Yeah, I would look at Chelsea, then probably Wolves if you're looking for a clean sheet. I'm not really confident in the rest of the matches. I mean, maybe Bournemouth, but their defense is
If the Brighton that showed up against Spurs travels to Aston Villa,
they can win 4-0. But you never know. You never know with that. So I mean, I guess I think there is value to look at the Brighton one. But if I had to back two and kind of sign off on it, it'd probably be Newcastle at home and Wolves at home. Sorry, Chelsea at home against Newcastle and Wolves at home against Southampton. Looking in the midfield, I mentioned Hudson-Odoi again. Chelsea right now, I mean, Mount, Abraham, you're running with those guys. In terms of attacking options, I mean, do you like Liverpool against a depleted United or City at Palace better?
Due to the fact that KDB is going to start City at Palace, because I don't know where Salah is right now in his fitness.
I think there's a chance. Or do you – because you know where I stand based upon – I was going to ask that question. Is this going to be another Manchester City response after a defeat where they come out and just absolutely – obliterate their opponent? Or do you think Palace at home is a lot tougher of a task than Watford at the Etihad? We saw after their defeat to Norwich.
Well, Palace at home is definitely a tougher task, but City being able to play through the middle of the field isn't something that any team in the league can stop.
I'm thinking about captaining KDB.
Over Sterling.
As my vice captain,
I would lean Sterling. I would go KDB if Sergio Aguero didn't get another car crash.
So I'm glad you brought that up. So Sergio Aguero got in a car crash. He's fine, and I know this is gonna sound like a joke, but this is, what, the second or third time he's been in a car crash? Do we need to start worrying about his safety when he's in vehicles?
Well, what's weird is the fact that, like, Pep Guardiola does not allow his players to drive their own cars in season. They all have drivers. So what the hell is going on with the person behind the wheel of Sergio Aguero's cars?
Yeah, here's another question for you. If you were a professional athlete, would you have a driver? Whether it was mandated or not by your team.
Oh, most definitely.
I would. I mean, driving home from work today in the pouring rain on the highway, there's like two accidents. It's like people are playing bumper cars. I would 100% have my own driver. It's just very confusing with the Aguero situation. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like, is there any other player, any other football you could think of who's had like a weird out in left field issue like that?
Well, there's all the issues going on with Derby County right now, but
yeah, it's a little bit darker. Yeah, the Aguero thing is quite odd. I mean, I'm not saying all of a sudden I'm going to downgrade him in fantasy because
I'm
going to go for a drive, but now
I'm very tempted to take a -4 and bring in Aubameyang this week.
Like, could you see Pep doing some disciplinary and not starting him?
Well, didn't you see the story over the international break about Pep Roulette actually being a disciplinary thing that has caused Benjamin Mendy to do a bunch of shifts in the laundry room?
I thought that was like an Onion parody article at first, and then I saw it pop up a couple other places.
Yeah.
And apparently it's a real thing. Looking at those city assets, though. I mean, I wish we had more concrete news on Salah, because my United gonna be without De Gea, gonna be without Pogba, no Martial, no Shaw, no Juan Bissaka. This could be a very, very, very long match for United fans.
This is when you want a Jose Mourinho special and put everyone behind the ball, right?
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, I don't even know if I want the guys we're going to be putting behind the ball on the pitch. I
That's
mean,
definitely
it
fair.
was going to be, you're going to have Phil Jones out there. This is just not,
Wait,
it's not ideal.
I thought Lindelof will be back for this one, right?
I guess so. I'm not even sure. I didn't even
You
check
are
on what his
probably
status was.
going to see another Diego Dalot start.
Yeah, I'm not too happy about that.
I forgot he was still on the team until last week when he showed up in the starting lineup.
So Lindelof did start against Spain. And then he didn't play against Malta. Or sorry, he didn't play against Malta, and then he returned against Spain.
So you at
I
least have
didn't
your
see
first
how he
choice center
looked.
backs back.
Yeah, that I was starting to get worried that we'd have a Phil Jones sighting. Yeah, Diego Dalot, I mean, if you're gonna play him on the wing, not in defense, that's fine, but I'm already having nightmares thinking about Mane or Salah just running absolute circles around him.
So are
I mean,
you
to go
cap?
from it, and it's not that I dislike him. Am I going to triple captain Salah?
Well, no, I would say
Probably not.
Mane.
I don't think it's a terrible idea. I
Also,
mean, the drop in defensive capabilities from Dalot, from Juan Bissaka to Diego Dalot is quite laughable.
You're picking up Origi right now just in case.
Yeah, if he's available. Yeah, I mean, I definitely would go and grab him if he's available. The last guy I want to talk about before we bring this episode to a close, Teemu Pukki. Obviously, people are getting rid of him in FPL after his three-match cold streak. We know he struggled and his numbers are not great. They're actually bad on the road so far this season. I think he snaps the streak, and I think he puts one away against Bournemouth. Norwich have Bournemouth, United, Brighton, Watford, Everton in their next five. If you're someone who's in my position, I don't know if you own him, if you still own him, if you sold him. What would your advice be for people thinking about getting rid of Pukki? At this point, do you think you just hold him and hope for the best? Do you want to sell him ahead of this week? Is it keep him and then sell him?
It depends on your team and the amount of money you have in the bank. Like, if you're downgrading Pukki to like an Ashley Barnes, then there's no reason to sell him. If you're downgrading Pukki to a Connolly in order to fund a move for a bigger midfielder, I can get behind that. If you're upgrading Pukki to Colin Wilson or Tammy Abraham, which I upgraded him to Colin Wilson, I could also get behind that.
Yeah, I'm looking to event to get Wilson in, and by doing the moves I'd done over the last couple weeks, next week, if I take a -4, I'll be able to get him in, and get Pukki out. But I'm going to sit on him for another week. Right now, who are your forwards this week for FPL?
At time of recording, and this may not be the case when we release the podcast, it is Callum Wilson, Sergio Aguero, Roberto Firmino.
Yeah, so I'm with Pukki, Hilaire, and Greenwood, and then I have KDB, Sterling, Salah, Madison, Hudson-Odoi. So I've gone for the midfield stack.
I have Mount Yarmolenko, KDB and Sun.
Yes, I'll be interested to see what you do for your move if you stick with your lineup. When are you going to pull the trigger on your wild card? As this week on when we'll chuck wild card.
At this point, I'm kind of eyeing after game week 12 when you want to get double Liverpool defenders in. Because now that
Yeah.
Alisson's back, the Liverpool defense should be back in business.
Yeah, I think you've waited long enough where that's probably the best approach to go with. Before we wrap this episode up, which match are you most confident in result-wise this weekend?
I am most confident. I don't want to pick a match involving the Big Six in this because it just feels like a complete cop out.
Yeah, I was hoping you would go a little bit more.
I'm most confident in West Ham going to Everton and drawing.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with I really think Brighton gets a win at Villa, and I think it's a
It could
two-goal
be a, I
victory.
was to say, it
It
could be
goes
a
into the 2-0.
comprehensive win, but as long as El Ghazi gets a goal in that, I'm happy.
I'm thinking maybe a 3-1. I really like what we saw from Brighton. I don't know if they'll be able to keep another clean sheet because obviously Villa, even though they're playing a less than suitable, although they were banged up defense in Norwich, I just hard to see them. It's hard to see Brighton not staying hot after that win over Spurs. But that's going to do it for this episode of FPL 360. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at FPL underscore 360 and pretty much everywhere podcasts are located on the internet.